Numbers chapter 21. As we begin a new year coming Tuesday, actually midnight Monday night, what happens is we've got some things to look forward to. But we've got some things that have been discouraging in our world today. And you say, how on earth do you overcome the discouragement? As we get older, I get some more aches and pains and struggles and battles and things like that, and I don't like it. But it's part of life. How do you deal with the discouragement, preacher? Well, I struggle with it sometimes just like you do. And sometimes maybe not as good as you do. But the truth is, life is full of discouragement. Here in this particular passage, we see where the children of Israel have been traveling in the wilderness for 40 years. And they're getting to a point where they're tired of eating that manna. And they're tired of wandering around and seeing the same, every 2 weeks they see the same sight and camp out in the same place and seeing the rocks. And all they're doing is marching in circles and they don't know what's going on. And they get discouraged. Guess what? That's part of life. Since Adam and Eve fell, there's a lot of discouragement. In fact, that in itself will discourage you. To know that because of Adam and Eve's inability to obey one single command, that we all got to struggle. We all got to die. We all got to get sick. All the issues in life. Let's stand in honor of the Word of God. I want you to want to read just a few verses here in Numbers chapter 21. And it says, and when King Arad, the Canaanite, which dwelt in the south, heard tell that Israel came by the way of the spies, then he fought against Israel and took some of them prisoners. And Israel vowed a vow unto the Lord and said, if thou wilt indeed deliver this people into my hand, then I will utterly destroy their cities. And the Lord hearkened to the voice of Israel and delivered up the Canaanites, and they utterly destroyed them and their cities. And he called the name of the place Hormah. And they journeyed from Mount Hor by the way of the Red Sea to compass the land of Edom. And the soul of the people was much discouraged because of the way. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we come before you thanking you. Thanking you for this blessed book. And Lord, there are a lot of books that people write that have good news. But Lord, you tell us about the hardships of the Christian life. You tell us about the difficult times that this life brings. And Lord, we want to thank you because it can help us when those tough times come. And so Lord, we ask you to move in a special way. Lord, I don't know what everybody's going through. We know there's sickness going through and going around. We know that there's a lot of discouragement in our world, in our country, a lot of issues that people deal with. And Lord, we just ask you, let your Holy Spirit minister to us. Us that are hurting, us that are discouraged, and help us to stay the course. Help us to make a difference in this nasty world. Lord, you know that this preacher, the fallible man, capable of messing up anything you try to do. And Lord, I'm just asking you, I'm begging you, please don't let the preacher do that this morning. Let your Holy Spirit, the real preacher, preach to each of us, including this preacher. And let us hear clearly from heaven the message you have for us. For it's in that lovely, that mighty name of Jesus we pray. Amen. You can be seated. I've been looking at the news, and sometimes that's just enough to discourage you. And then when you get the slanted side of the news when they attack somebody like that's trying to do right, and you see all the issues that's going on in our country, and I don't care which side you're on, we're in the middle of a government shutdown because the government can't get along. Whether you're Democrat or whether you're Republican, whether you're for I'm not going to call them undocumented aliens, they're illegal when they come in without going through the vetting, the legal process. And I had a man at work tell me, he was had a Hispanic background. I do not hate the Hispanic people. In fact, there'll be probably no preacher in Bartow that tries harder to reach the Hispanic people in Bartow than this one. We pass out Catholic or Hispanic tracts in Spanish. I try to use as much Spanish as I can to do that. But I want you to know, we cannot, as a country, pay for the world. We can't do it. But whether you like it or not, you've got people on the border that are trying to come into the country. Guess what? Try to do that in China. Try to do that in Cuba. Try to do that in Venezuela or Iraq or some other places. Hey, there's borders for a reason. And I'm not going to get into that, but hey, that's an issue. That's a discouragement. That's a struggle our country's dealing with. I saw some news last night on the TV that said there were more school shootings in 2018 than ever before. Think about that. And they're getting worse. Now, when I was in school, a lot of the boys had rifles in the back of their pickup truck on the gun rack. And you know what? Their truck, if it's on a hot day, their truck window was rolled down too. They weren't locked. Why now? I'm going to tell you, I'm going to give you a little hint. Start with, when I was in school, they weren't teaching them we came from monkeys, that there is no God, that there anything you want to do, just do it. Even though there was no prayer in school, we were praying in school. Amen?
Yes, sir. Exactly.
I'll always pray. Amen. They can't stop me from praying. They couldn't stop Daniel from praying even when he was in the lion's den.
All right.
But I want you to understand, this world's in a crazy mess.
Right. Right.
It's hard for you and I as Christians to stay encouraged. Then you go through all the natural disasters, the fires that have been sweeping through California. There is no paradise California anymore. It's gone. The hurricane that took away Mexico Beach, Florida. You've got floods. You've got fires. You've got droughts. You've got people, crime. I want you to think. A few weeks ago, we had, about a month ago, we had Dr. Lewis here, who's trying to minister to people with the PTSD, the post-traumatic stress disorder. I heard about a deputy that committed suicide yesterday from that. You know why people get into that kind of stuff and think about suicide? It's because they feel like there's no way out. And you say, preacher, you've been painting a bad picture. Hold on, it's going to get worse. Hey, 2019's not going to be getting better unless the rapture happens.
That's right.
But you and I realize, and this is where we've got to be as Christians, is we've got to realize, as bad as this world is, and as bad as it might get, it's going to be our hell.
if we're saved, this is the worst we're going to see, and it's temporary.
Yes, sir.
But for those that aren't saved, this is their heaven. How would you like that? This is the best they're going to see. And it's temporary because their hell is going to be eternal.
That's right.
The children of Israel were getting into this bad situation. They were trying to get encouraged, and they were getting close, and they'd heard about this land called the Promised Land and the land flowing with milk and honey, and they were getting excited for it. And then all of a sudden, for 40 years, the Promised Land was put on hold while they marched in a circle. Constantly marching in a circle for 40 years. Kind of sounds like Congress, don't it? Anyway, I try to get off politics, but it just keeps popping up. Amen. But the truth is, the children of Israel were marching in a circle and they were getting discouraged. The Bible says right there in verse 4, it says, "And the soul of the people was much discouraged because of the way." I'm not going to ask you how many of you get discouraged or what you get discouraged over, because I know you all get discouraged. We all get discouraged. You know what? And sometimes it's disappointment. Now, disappointment is something, it's an easy explanation, but it's not easy to fix. You know what disappointment causes? Disappointment? Unfulfilled expectations. You're expecting one thing to happen, and it don't happen. Now, with the government shut down, there are a lot of people that are expecting a paycheck. And it's not going to happen. But do we want the country fixed or do we not want the country fixed? Do we want, this is where we come to, it's not an easy fix. It's been going the wrong way for a long time. And the truth is, we've got to take a stand. There comes a point in time when you've got to balance your checkbook.
Amen.
Like it or not.
Amen.
It's a good thing. You can't just keep writing checks because, hey, I got some extra checks left over.
Right. Got money in the bank.
Yeah, got me money in the bank because I got checks. It don't work that way. But the children of Israel, they were getting discouraged. They were tired of walking. They were tired of all the things. And then they started murmuring. Look at what it says. Verse 5, it says, "And the people spake against God and against Moses, wherefore have ye brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no bread, neither is there any water, and our soul loatheth this light bread." What would have happened if God hadn't sent them the manna? They'd have starved. Do you realize how much God had to take care of them to put them in the wilderness for 40 years? How much water 3 million people need? I mean, I'm talking about just drinking water. We sure hope they took a bath, right? What about the food? Enough food for 40 years for 3 million people. Wouldn't you like to pay that bill? I wouldn't want to pay it for a day, for a meal. Good grief. And God was taking care of them. And what happened was they started murmuring against God. They started complaining against God. Now, I want you to understand there's a passage. Let's go there right quick. Go to Isaiah chapter 55. There's a passage here. If you don't have it memorized, I want you to memorize it. Underline it in your Bible if you write in your Bible. But the truth is, this is a passage that you and I need to hang on to because it will help us when we become discouraged.
Verse 7 and 8 in Isaiah 55 says, "Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord." The Bible says in Deuteronomy 32:4 that the Lord's work is perfect. Well, I tell you what, Gary and I have done a lot of different types of jobs. We used to work on those crazy bulldog pumps, trying to fix those things. They were an airless spray pump. And we used to work on those things, and sometimes they worked, sometimes they wouldn't. Our work wasn't always perfect. But everything God does is not just good, it's not just best, it's absolutely perfect, flawless. And even though the children of Israel here could not see that, His ways are always perfect. His work is perfect. 2 Samuel chapter 22, verse 31 says, "His way is perfect." And then the two verses later, the statement's made, "He makes my way perfect." Think about that. How is it God can make my way perfect? I'm a fallible man. It's because He's leading me. Oh, blessed thought. I want you to know, He's on the throne. He's the one that takes care of it. He's going to put it all together. You and I, we get discouraged with the things that are coming. But I want you to understand, you have to trust Him, especially those times when you don't understand what's going on. This crazy world we live in, I see more and more stupidity. And they think they're intelligent. The Bible says in Romans 1:22, professing themselves wise, they became fools. I see it on a regular basis. All you got to do is turn the news on. You got people that think they're going to get away with this. Or, it's interesting that what was acceptable back in the 60s, 70s, and 80s with these men in high positions pressuring young ladies to succumb to their wants, all of a sudden it's starting to come out. Reminds me of a passage in Numbers, "Be sure your sin will find you out." Hey, the truth is God's squaring it up. He's got a plan. But you and I, we get discouraged just like the children of Israel do, or did. So how do we overcome it, preacher? Number one, don't bring an indictment on yourself by accusing it. Okay? If you follow the story, the next few verses, they brought an indictment on themselves. God sent fiery serpents to them, and it killed many of the people. Remember, if you remember one thing, God's way is perfect, then you won't bring an indictment on yourself by accusing Him of doing things that you don't think He should do. Because what we realize is the fact that He's controlling. I want you to think about all the stars in the universe. Bible says He's got them all. He knows where they are. He's put them in place. And He calls each one by name. And there are so many. I heard one statement that said that, and this was a scientist, that there are more stars in outer space than there are grains of sand on planet Earth. Grab that one.
That's your homework assignment. I want to see how many zeros are on that, okay? Now think about that. There are that many stars in the universe. God not only put them in place, He created them. And He told them, you're going to stay there. This is your orbit. You just stay in this orbit. This is where you're going to be. This is where you're going to be. Try to figure out how wise and powerful and loving He is. When my children were small, there were times when they brought an indictment on themselves. And it's funny how that one end affects the other end. It does. When your backside is stinging, it helps your brain say, I don't want to do that again. Hey, that's a lesson I learned from my parents. Amen? And it still works. Even though society is going to try to tell you, no, don't do that. And that's why they've got so many crazy children going amok, because they don't have any hope, and all they see is just, if it feels good, do it. The children of Israel learned a lesson. They learned it the hard way, because God sent those fiery serpents to them because they didn't trust Him. I'm not saying life is perfect, and you and I realize that life's not perfect. We're not perfect either. Our decisions, as best we can make them, should go by the book. The book is perfect, and the way we follow the book should be perfect. But we're in an imperfect world. To think that things are going to go our way, it's just an exercise in futility. They're not going to happen that way. But I want you to remember something. When you turn the TV on, and when you hear about these school shootings and corrupt politicians and all this kind of garbage that causes us to get discouraged, remember one thing. They're sinners. And they're doing what sinners do. And every time they sin, every time they make a bad decision, they're not going to get away with it. And they're proving the Bible true. Every time they step in the wrong way, every time they go in the wrong direction, every time they hurt someone, steal some money, or whatever they might do, the truth is, it's going to come back to them. Let me see what I've got here. Thought I put it in here. Maybe I did. Anyway, there's a song. It says, God is still on the throne. He will take care of His own. Though troubles forsake you, or friends they forsake you, and troubles overtake you, He'll not leave you there all alone. God is still on the throne. When all of your friends are gone, His promise is true. He will not forsake you. God is still on the throne. If nothing else encourages you, it should encourage you, if you're saved, that your Father's on the throne. He's going to take care of it. I'm convinced
sooner or later, the economy in our country is going to have to collapse. Okay? It's built on a bubble. We're over indebted. We've got more, we've spent more money than we take in, and trillions. How do you go accidentally go trillions, $18 trillion in debt? It's not an accident. There are a lot of devilish people over a lot of years that have been working on this country to bring it to its knees. What happens if the economy collapses and you can't buy a loaf of bread? God is still on the throne.
Amen.
And remember, if we starve to death, it just takes a little longer to get to heaven that way.
Amen.
But truth is, if you're saved, heaven's coming.
Amen.
Jesus is coming.
Praise.
Don't worry about it. Bible says, fret not. Jesus said, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. You know why I memorize those verses? Because I have a tendency to fret, just like you do. I have a tendency to let my heart get troubled, just like you do. I don't like the way this world's going. That's okay. It's not my world. And God's going to square up the account.
Yes, sir.
And he's got a reason. He's being long-suffering to give us a chance to win more people to Christ.
Amen.
Don't get discouraged. And if you do get discouraged, don't turn on the Lord. Turn to him. Because he'll fix it. And he'll fix it real good for us. You don't see it. I don't see it sometimes. The children of Israel got discouraged because of the way. Sometimes we get discouraged because of the way. But in 2019, I'm glad my God's still on the throne. I'm glad this book is still true. I'm glad I can turn to him, and all I've got to do is call on the name of Jesus, and he hears my prayer. And whatever happens in the world, God's going to square it up one day. He's going to square it up one day. Don't let it get you down. Don't let your blood pressure get up because of it. He's got it all figured out. He's working it out. I'm glad my God's on the throne. My daddy's on the throne. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before you thanking you for your many blessings. And Lord, we just come before you asking you to help us when we get discouraged. And Lord, help us not to bring an indictment on ourselves by accusing you. Lord, we know that you're in charge. We know that you're God. And your ways are perfect. We're not sure what's going on in this crazy world we live in. But Lord, we thank you. Thank you that you're in control. Lord, I pray for the invitation. I pray for you to move in a special way. Maybe there's somebody here that needs to be saved. Maybe there's somebody that needs prayer for struggles, for battles, for issues. Maybe somebody wants to join this church. Whatever it is, Lord, help them to make the decision that you're prompting them to make. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.